Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Scatter the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we jump into the message today, we're going to give you a brief update on what's going on over here in Africa. I'm coming to you from Kenya today. We've been having some very light rains. We're moving into the dry season from about mid-December to 1st of March is the dry season. And so we're starting to get hotter days, drier weather. And so we harvested maize last week on our farm and had a very good harvest. Very thankful for that. The children at the children's home are all home from school right now, and so they're out playing. We bought them a couple of bicycles this week as Christmas presents, and so that is going to be a joy to them to be able to learn how to ride a bicycle, and they'll be learning that here in the next week or two, and then you're going to see them zipping around the village, I imagine, on those bicycles. And the crusade over in Tanzania, we're still getting reports from that, the success of that. We had decrees made and decrees declared over the Ngorongoro district over in Tanzania, which is the home of the Maasai tribal people. And we decreed and declared that they would be left on their land. There's all kinds of scheming going on to move them off their land and take their land, make hunting reserves, hunting preserves out of it. And so we decreed and declared that those schemes will come to a stop. And last week after the crusade, 25 Maasai leaders who had been arrested in protest a few months ago, they were released from jail and all the charges against them were dropped. And so that was a great victory for the Maasai and for the crusade. And the church, we have activities going on at the church. This weekend we have a youth conference. Youth from about four or five different churches will be there, and we're going to be discussing with the youth issues that are pertinent to them, issues that are important for their life to develop into godly people, godly men and women. And so that is happening this weekend. Next week we have a wedding, the first wedding we've ever conducted in our church, and so that will be happening on Saturday of next week. And so pray for the church, pray for the children's home, pray for more crusades. We're lining up in the new year 2023, and so we are happy to be here and doing God's work here in Kenya. Well, today we're going to be talking about special considerations on the spiritual gifts, and the spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are the gifts given by the Holy Spirit. And these are, some people call them the charismatic gifts or the power gifts. There's a lot of different descriptions for them. Some people don't believe in them at all. Some people say, well, they discontinued those gifts and they are no longer appropriate or no longer in application in the body of Christ. I don't believe that. I see them in activity in Africa especially, and other places, even in USA. I see them in activity and application everywhere I go. I guess it all depends on what you believe and where your faith is and what you're looking for in terms of the body of Christ. But I can tell you up front before I start this message that I believe in a supernatural God. I believe in a God that can do healings and miracles and give the body of Christ supernatural gifts. And beloved, I hope you believe in a supernatural God as well. If you don't, I feel sorry for you, because you're concept of God is limited. Your concept of God is restricted to a God of ritual, a God of religion, a God of habit and tradition, and that's not the God I serve. And so if you have more questions about that, we're not going to get that deep into this subject today, but if you have more questions about that, you can email me pureprairie@hotmail.com, and I would be happy to get into a theological discussion with you on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bible there, turn it today to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to talk today primarily about two gifts that jump out of this list. There's a list of nine gifts here, and I'm going to talk about two of them that are the power gifts, we call them, and they are in evidence here in Africa. Very common to see these gifts in operation here. And so the first one we're going to talk about is the gifts of healings in 1 Corinthians 12:9. It says, this is Paul writing, to another faith by the same Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, and to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Well, beloved, let me just say at the outset here that I believe it's God's will to heal. I believe it's within His power to heal. One of the names of God comes from Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, when God spoke to Moses and the children of Israel, and He said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and if you do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." And that is one of the names of God, Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord, Jehovah Rapha, who heals you. And so God declares Himself to be a healer. Jesus also in the New Testament declared Himself to be a healer. In Mark chapter 2, there's a great story there of this paralytic that was brought in through the roof into the place where Jesus was ministering. And this paralytic was carried down through the roof, carried to that site by four of His friends. And in the story, Jesus, when the paralytic comes down through the roof, Jesus said, "I see your faith. I see the faith of the four friends who brought you, that they believe that I can heal." And Jesus said to the paralytic then, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And of course, the religious elite and the scribes and Pharisees that were standing around there, they were shocked because they said, "This man says he can forgive sins." And so it was a great shock to them. And Jesus said then in Mark chapter 2, verse 10, He said, "That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, verse 11, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he arose, took up his bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." And so Jesus said, "I'm going to prove to you that I have the power to forgive sins. And the way I'm going to prove it to you is to heal this man who is a paralytic." And beloved, Jesus at that point declared Himself to be a healer. And I believe that He is still a healer today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if Jesus healed people with the words that He spoke, or by laying hands on them, or however He did it, if He healed people back 2,000 years ago, I believe He can still heal people today. I have seen it with my own eyes, and I have seen it and can testify that the healing power of Jesus is still here today, and He works through people. If you see somebody speaking over sick person, preaching to them, laying hands on them, anointing them with oil, whatever, if you see that happening, don't get mad, don't get jealous, don't get in an outrage thinking those gifts aren't applicable any longer. Just praise God, and maybe someday you will get the understanding that God still heals today, Jesus still heals today, the same power that they had 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago is evident and active in the world today. And God works through human agents. He works through humans. And so a lot of people are just jealous when they see people laying hands on somebody and that person gets a healing. Don't get jealous. Just understand some people have the faith to believe that God still heals today. And beloved, if you're in that place where you don't know for sure, why don't you do this? Just start laying hands on people, praying for them, or you don't even have to lay hands on them. Just start praying for people. Go to their house, to the sick, go to the hospital where the sick are, start praying over them. See if some of them don't get healed. See if some of them don't respond in the way that your prayer indicated you believe they can be healed. And beloved, when you start to do that, I can guarantee you that God is going to heal some of those people in the way that you prayed. And that is God's will, that people be healed. Well, in Mark chapter 3, the next chapter there in Mark, it says Jesus appointed the 12, that is the 12 apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Well, there it is, the same corollary scripture in Matthew 10:8. Jesus sent out the disciples two by two, and he said to them, go to the lost house of Israel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers. And so if it was Jesus' will for those to receive that kind of power and apply that kind of power, it's also Jesus' will for us to receive that kind of power. The same kind of power is in you that was in those 12 disciples. That very same kind of power is available to you. You have to step out in faith and use it and apply it, and you will see that that power is available. Well, another scripture in Mark 16, verse 17, Jesus is commissioning the disciples, and he said, these signs will follow you who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. And so that was the marching orders, the command, the charge of Jesus Christ to the disciples when he was leaving earth. And so that still applies to us today. We still have the same command. We still have the same opportunity to work in behalf of Jesus, to work for those who are sick, to work for those who need healing. And so that is the opportunity and the charge, the commission that we have in the body of Christ. James chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus says through James, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And so James says, if you're sick, go to the elders. Let the elders anoint you with oil. Let the elders pray for you. Beloved, I would suggest that you do that. And if you don't belong to a church where there's elders, find a church where there are some. Go to them when you're sick. Go to God first. Go to God first. This would be a novel idea in the U.S. Many people run to the doctor many times every month, and their whole life is wrapped around doctor visits and appointments and taking medicines, and it's okay. I'm not condemning that. There's times when that's necessary. There's times when that might even be beneficial. But you have to understand, beloved, when you get sick, if you will go to the elders, exercising your faith and you're trusting God to heal you, you're trusting God to raise you up. And so it would be a good exercise for the elders to have people coming to them all the time for prayer, for healing. And it's also a very good exercise for those who are sick to get in the habit or get used to exercising their faith and believing that God can heal them. And beloved, I have had many, many people, not to boast, not to put stripes on my own arm, but I've had many people come to me wanting prayer for the sick, and I have seen some pretty incredible healings. I've seen some pretty incredible things happen with people, and a lot of times people come as the last resort. They come to receive prayer. And that's okay, but it would be better if it were the first thing when people start to get sick to come. And James says, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So there again, James ties sins with healing, because when people receive prayer, when they go to the elders, things are exposed, things are revealed, and so they then receive forgiveness for their sins and also healing for their sicknesses. So I would exhort you again to start laying hands on the sick. If you're a mature believer, exercise your faith. Exercise your faith, because healing is God's will. There's nothing special about you that you have to boast about. You have some kind of healing power. No, it's God's power. But God just wants to use you in a way that other people can be blessed, other people can receive benefit, and their sicknesses can be taken away by the Lord. And it is a sign and a wonder, a sign that is pointing to the power of God, and a sign that is pointing to his kingdom. And it will cause people who don't believe in God to see the sign, and then they will come to know the Lord. They will seek him because of the evidence that has been presented to them. Well, the second gift I want to talk about today is the working of miracles. And this is in verse 10 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the working of miracles. And Paul says here, to another, the working of miracles. Well, this also applies to people who have been anointed by God to work miracles. And so without people, yes, God can accomplish every miracle that he wants to. He parted the Red Sea, and if you read through the Old Testament, there are many, many miracles in the Old Testament. There are many in the New Testament. Miracles abound in all through the Bible, but he wants to use human agents to facilitate or promote or cause miracles to happen. And miracles, a simple definition would be extraordinary events that go against the normal working of nature, go against the normal pattern that we are used to in nature and in people. And so miracle is an astounding thing. Jesus raised the dead. I would consider that to be a miracle. I would consider any type of weather changing or dramatic events surrounding the natural world, that would be a miracle. And so when you see an opportunity for the miracle, such as if someone is dead and you are presented with an opportunity, believe in a miracle working God. If you don't believe in a miracle working God, this scripture isn't going to mean anything to you. You just are going to dismiss it and say, well, God doesn't really work miracles today. That happened in the Bible times, but we don't have any miracles today. I guess a miracle today would be, you know, if somehow you had money to pay your grocery bill and didn't see any inflation in it. But God has a bigger plan for miracles. He wants to see the body of Christ initiate prayer, initiate activity that creates a miracle. And again, God could do it all, but he works through human agents. He works through people in the body of Christ, and through them, then, working of miracles. Paul says, the working of miracles. This is the will of God, that miracles be worked, and a sign, wonder, and a miracle be shown to people, so that they will come to know the body of Christ. They will come to know salvation. And so in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, immediately after Pentecost, there was a man laid at the gate Beautiful in the temple. And then Peter said to this man, he had been crippled. This man had been crippled from birth. And then Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He stood up leaping, and he walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and leaping and praising God. So there's your sign and wonder and miracle right there. That's not really a typical healing. When somebody who's been crippled from birth is given an instantaneous healing, I would consider that a miraculous thing. And so I list that here in the working of miracles. And so you see this person leaped up when Peter spoke to him. All Peter did was speak. I don't have any money for you. What I have is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the power in Peter's voice and his presence there with that man. And another scripture, it says the shadow of Peter in another place. Just the shadow of Peter falling on people caused them to get healing and caused them to rejoice with some kind of miracle or healing. And so the power in Peter was obvious. Read through the book of Acts from start to finish. You'll see Peter was anointed to preach, but he was also anointed with great power, and miracles followed him everywhere he goes. Well, in Acts chapter 19, verse 11, talking about Paul, it says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Paul was over in Greece and Macedonia, in that area of Europe, and says special miracles by the hands of Paul. The Lord did those things, not Paul. The Lord did them through Paul. It was the Lord's power. And verse 12, Acts 19, verse 12, so that from his body were brought to the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from those, and the evil spirits went out of them. And so Paul was praying over handkerchiefs and aprons. He was anointing them probably with oil and sending them out. People were coming to get them, sending them out. And it said the evil spirits and the diseases departed from the people who took those handkerchiefs, took those aprons. And so this was a great miracle that Paul was doing there in Greece and Macedonia. And so we see that duplicated some today. You have to be careful because some people use this scripture as a way to sell handkerchiefs, and there may or may not be an anointing on them. There may be some, but there may not be any. And so you just have to be careful because there's some Shylocks around out there that are selling special water, special oil, special handkerchiefs. And so you just don't know if there's any anointing on them. Pray about it, and maybe the Lord will reveal you if this person really has an anointing for healing and for miracles. Another situation in Acts, when Paul is over at Troas, T-R-O-A-S, in Greece, Paul is preaching, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. This is verse 8. And in verse 9, it says, there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, who fell into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long in his preaching, Eutychus sunk down with sleep and fell over from the third floor window, and he was taken up dead. In other words, when he hit the ground, everybody said that after that he was dead. But Paul, in verse 10, Paul went down and he fell on this young man and embraced him and said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. And so Paul just embraced him. And we don't know all the details of the situation, obviously, but Paul embraced this young man, and the life was given back to this young man instantly when Paul embraced him. And so that was another miracle that was done by Paul, the workings of miracles. And so when Paul talks about the workings of miracles in his scripture here in 1 Corinthians 12, he knows from personal experience that is something that people can do. That is something that he himself had done. And so he's speaking from experience. Well, beloved, I have had the privilege, the honor, the humble honor to have prayed for two people that the Lord raised from the dead. And if you want to know the details of that, one of them happened in Costa Rica, where a pastor had gotten very sick. He had a respiratory illness, and he got very sick, and the Lord told me to go over and pray for him in his little hut. not far from the church where we were holding a church revival. And we went over, there was three of us went over, and we prayed for this guy and kneeled down around his bed, prayed for him, and the Lord put life back into him. He hadn't been dead too long, but the Lord put life back into him and raised him up. And the next morning at 5:30, he got up with us, helped pack up the horses. We were leaving that morning. He helped us pack up the horses, and you could tell that there was nothing wrong with him. It was as if nothing had happened to him. And so God gave him a miraculous turnaround and a miraculous healing right there in front of my eyes. Well, I was looking for that situation because it had been prophesied over me before I went to Costa Rica. It had been prophesied that signs, wonders, and miracles will follow you, even to see the dead raised. And so I was prepared, I was looking, and so God presented me with that situation. And when that situation happened, I knew that God was prepared, I was prepared, we just had to pray, and the Word of God is true, and the Word of God tells us what to prepare for, what to look for, and the Word of God will not come back to him void. Well, beloved, I hope you have enjoyed this series of messages on spiritual gifts. Last 3 or 4 weeks, you can check them out on our website, gatherTheOutcast.com, if you missed any of them. If you have any questions about anything, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. The greatest miracle of all is salvation, and I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. If you don't, email me. We can talk about it and find a good teaching for you, find a good prayer team for you to lead you to salvation, baptism, discipleship, all those things that come with a walk in the body of Christ. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down, write us out a check, let us know you're listening. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.